Well, Derek, thanks very much for joining us. First things first, what did you make of another solid, good weekend of motor racing?
If we see a great race now, it's almost an average race because we've had such exceptional races over the last year or so, and certainly this year. The Hockenheim was another great race. It was absolutely immense from Alonso. I thought Alonso is just getting, if it's possible, stronger and stronger. He was leading the World Championship when he had an average car. He's now got maybe not the best car, but a good car. He's almost unbeatable in both qualifying, wet, dry, and the race. So I think he is definitely the star of the moment. He is absolutely fantastic the way he's driving.
Yeah, from a British point of view, I suppose for us to be a little bit patriotic, it's good to see McLaren back on track again.
Yeah, well, they came with a lot of updates to Hockenheim, and to be fair to them, it was difficult to know whether or not those updates were working because the first 2 days were very mixed conditions, were wet and dry, and it wasn't until the race that they found out that they actually did have a car that was competitive. It was unfortunate for Lewis picking up a puncture on lap 3 or 4, whatever it was. But Jensen just showed that the upgrades are working, and hopefully this weekend at Hungary, we can look for a revitalised McLaren and our two great British champions up there on the top steps.
Yeah, indeed, it was a dramatic weekend both on and off the track, wasn't it? You were there as an FIA steward this time. You had all the usual things to get through, grid penalties, people speeding in the pit lane in practice, things like that, all quite normal. But then, of course, on Sunday morning, a lot of us woke up to a Red Bull inquiry involving supposedly illegal torque maps. Up there, Derek, what was the first you heard of that?
Yeah, there was a document that came from the FIA technical delegates that found an inconsistency within the mapping of the Red Bulls. So we therefore had a debrief. I understood exactly what was going on. We called in the Red Bull people. We obviously talked it through with them. They gave their explanation. We heard it and understood their side of it. And to be quite honest, there was nothing we could do as stewards because of the way that the rules were written. They were possibly within the realms of those rules. So there was nothing to be done. They were deemed legal and they raced in their normal position. But I understand from comments on one of the websites this morning that might change for Hungary. So we'll wait and see. It's difficult as a steward when you get something that you believe is right or wrong, you don't have the powers to do anything because of a technicality of the rules or regulations or whatever. But at the end of the day, it was deemed legal and we allowed them to race from their normal grid positions.
Obviously, we don't see much of these meetings quite correctly, but how long do they last for and does it become quite heated when you've obviously got two parties arguing two different things?
Well, time you debrief the delegates, time you speak to the team, and then together, I think we started about 9 o'clock and finished about an hour and a quarter before the race started. So, it's kind of hard work because you don't want to make a mistake. You want to make sure your decisions are correct. And I suppose, in a perverse sort of way, it's why I enjoy being a driver steward because, I do have the knowledge of what the issue was on the Sunday morning with the Red Bulls. I've done engine mapping all the way through my career. So I understood what should have been done and I understood what was done. And, although I don't think, as we said in our communique, although I don't believe that it was completely correct, equally it wasn't wrong, so therefore we couldn't penalise him. I'm really going around in circles here, I'm afraid.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I understand. I mean, there was these general thoughts that at some point that Red Bull might not even be able to start the race, but in reality, did it ever really come close to that?
Yeah, I think it was fairly close. I think there was a stage where we were looking at various possibilities, and had they proved to be illegal, and let me reiterate, they were proved to be legal.
Yeah.
Had they been illegal, then there's many different things that could have happened. They'd have been asked to move the map back, which would have meant they breached Parc Fermé and would have had to start from the pit lane. We could have excluded them from the meeting. So there was many different things that were talked about as possibilities. But at the end of the day, like I say, they were proved legal and they were allowed to start from their grid position.
Yeah, indeed. It looks as though there probably will be a clarification for Hungary, but that's obviously a different matter. But I suppose, Derek, from the engineering point of view, it's actually quite an intelligent piece of work from Adrian Newey and the team to push the rules that
way. I think what we've all got to realise is, the FIA, Charlie and his team write these rules and regulations along with the teams to try and close down any loopholes. But, I've always been a firm believer the more rules you have, the greyer the area gets. So,
yeah.
And I just think that it's really difficult for Charlie and his team. Formula One is the pinnacle of motor racing. They're there to exploit every single rule and regulation to its full amount to achieve a steal on their competitors, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to do the best job they can. Adrian he's got a good team around him. He's a pretty smart guy, as we all know. As is Ross Brawn and Fry and all these guys. They're all the top of the game, and they will find a loophole if they can. Cast your mind back to the Brawn when Jensen won the World Championship.
Yeah.
They saw a loophole, a grey area, and they executed it to its maximum. So all the Red Bull are doing are trying to find as many loopholes as they can, and in doing so, trying to keep at the front of the grid, and they're doing it very well at the moment.
Yeah, full marks to them, really, for that. But do you see a clarification being put in place before Hungary from an outsider's fan's point of view?
I suspect there might be. I'm not sure whether or not it's possible. I don't know what the protocol for that is. But I'm sure that Charlie, if he can, will put a clarification in and maybe close a loophole up. Maybe we can. I don't know what the protocol is to instigate that, to be honest.
Going on into the race itself, then, there were two key moments, really, for me. One of them was Lewis Hamilton overtaking Sebastian Vettel to unlap himself. First of all, did you see that as fair or foul?
Unfair. Had he been a slow car, he would have got the blue flag. Had he not moved out of the way, he would have got a drive-through.
Mm.
But he'd just come out of the pits. He was on new tyres. He was quicker than the guys in front of him. He came out in between Vettel and Button. He started to pressurise Vettel, and obviously got by him, as we all saw. He then tried to catch Alonso, which he did, but he didn't have the car underneath him to pass Alonso, and then came in for tyres again. So I think these situations are always seen to be marginal, but it's clear cut. If you've got a quick car, you can unlap yourself. He may have gone on to win the race. You never know. There might have been a safety car, a rain burst, or whatever. So you can't deny somebody that's in a faster car to overtake the leaders. As long as he's not being dirty, he's doing it as if he was in the race, i.e., challenging for the lead. In your heart of hearts, you have to say that it looked marginal, but it was completely legal. So I thought he drove very well. He passed Vettel cleanly. Sure, Seb got a little bit upset, but, so would you. You're on the back of Alonso. He's broke his momentum by passing him and effectively cost him second place because... Jensen, obviously, they all came in for tyres. McLaren did an amazing pit stop and brought him out in front. So I'm sure that Sebastian was upset, but You know, he's a very intelligent guy. On the cold light of day, on Monday morning, he will analyse that and realise that, yes, that can happen, and it might happen to him one day. So it was legal, and we deemed it legal.
Yeah, character building for Seb, I suppose. But just moving on to the final, biggest point probably amongst fans was lap 66, the penultimate lap, when Vettel passed Button on the outside of the hairpin, but outside the white lines which delineate the track. You were watching that, Derek, just as we were. From a driver's point of view, first of all, what was your initial thought there?
It's difficult for me sometimes because I think of a driver's point of view from when I was driving sometimes.
Yeah.
And I have to shut that out and remember we're now in the 21st century. We've got new rules and regulations. There was absolute clarity at the driver's briefing that anybody that gained an advantage by all four wheels off the track would be punished. Everybody knew that. If you look at the incident, which we have obviously many, many times, Sebastian was deemed to have gained an advantage. Unfortunately, what he should have done was handed the position back. What the team should have done, possibly, is asked Sebastian to hand the position back, because he still had a lap and a quarter to possibly still challenge him past Jensen, because it was clear that at that point of the race, the Red Bull was quicker than the McLaren.
Just for the record, Derek, how do you think that would have gone down in your day of driving an F1? Just let it go and that's it, you're through.
Well, I don't really know. I can't remember. I don't think we were privileged enough to have the kind of tarmac runoff areas that they have today.
Yeah.
So I think, you've got to imagine sometimes if you hadn't have had the tarmac runoff area, it would have been gravel or a barrier or a wall. And then he wouldn't have tried what he tried. So, you have to think that back in my day, that might have been gravel there or catch fencing poles. So there's no way you would have taken that option.
Yeah, and in these situations, the stewards have a set of penalties, don't they, which can be applied, ranging from a drive through to complete exclusion from the results if you feel it's serious enough. Obviously, on this occasion, the drive through option was chosen, but as it was post-race, it translated to a time penalty of 20 seconds. Although, actually, at Hockenheim at the weekend, the total pit lane time was only 12 seconds, so arguably, it cost Vettel and Red Bull 8 seconds more than it should have, as well as 8 championship points for dropping from 2nd to 5th. Is that something which should be reviewed for the future, do you think?
You know, we're reviewing all these things. We meet twice a year as permanent stewards to review and to see whether or not we can make the rules, the regulations, the penalties better, worse, fairer, whichever terminology you want to use.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the only penalty we had was a post-race penalty, which is a drive-through of 20 seconds. But, you know, if you take this to the nth degree, you say that a drive-through at Hockenheim is 12 seconds. Well, at some circuits, it's 22 seconds or 25 seconds.
Yeah.
So, had it been at, I can't think of a race now, Bahrain, Singapore, then he could have said he gained 5 seconds. So at the end of the day, these things average themselves out. They're never completely right. But unless we have a standard form, there's too much interpretation. The one thing the drivers, the teams, and possibly even the spectators require is consistency.
Yeah.
And this gives consistency. Right or wrong, I'll let you decide, but that's what we're trying to do as the FIA and stewards.
Yeah, because there was that feeling, wasn't there, of why couldn't they have just dropped him back behind Button to third? But then I suppose at the same time, although in a way that may have been fairer, it may have set a dangerous precedent, because then drivers might know, I can take a stupid risk, knowing that I'll only lose the one place.
Correct. And we must remember that, it's never as simple as it looks, because, had that happened on lap 4 or lap 25, would we just reverse the position? Well, you couldn't, because he would have gone on and had a pit stop and the race would have developed, et cetera, et cetera. So what's the difference between lap 1, 2, 25 or 66. So, you know, you really, they had the opportunity to reverse the position themselves, both Seb as a driver and the team. They missed that opportunity through probably the excitement of regaining second. And they have to, I'm sorry, but they've got to pay the penalty. It's as simple as that. Do I think it's right or wrong? It's kind of irrelevant because I see myself very seriously as a driver steward, and I see myself very seriously as towing the party line, because if you start swaying from that and start putting personal feelings into things, and then you might favour one team in front of the other or one driver in front of the other, and I try not to do that.
Just have to take every situation as it comes, but I mean, if you think
it's not always right, it's not always fair, but we have to try and stay consistent. But you know, to a certain extent, I blame the drivers. Mm. The drivers wanted clarity on this after the Rosberg Hamilton Alonso incident in Barcelona. They've got clarity.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that as well.
And it's now biting them in the ass. That's their problem. You know, that's. If you start putting too many regulations in place, we will end up with a very sterile Formula One. Nobody wants that. And I will always advocate that give the stewards freedom to impose different penalties, and maybe things will be different. But they kind of feel that. They want consistency, and I don't blame them for that, but sometimes it's not always the fairest way.
Yeah, I suppose that will almost come as a benchmark to them all now, as to what you maybe can and can't do. But yeah, Danny Sullivan, then the former Tyrrell driver and the former Indy 500 winner, is the steward this weekend, Derek, so it looks like he might be in for a busy time if Red Bull mapping is involved.
I don't think so, because if Charlie puts out a communique to the teams, it'll be obvious what they can and can't do. So therefore, again, it'd be set in stone, and they'll either be black or white. So so I think it'd be easy. In terms of the Button Vettel incident, we've set a standard now. You probably won't see that again, because people will know that if they try it, they will get a 20-second or a drive-through. So you could argue that Danny should have an easy time. He can put his feet up and have a nice cup of tea. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he won't be, of course. But just a quick Derek Warwick tip then. Take the race steward's badge off and put the Derek Warwick fan cap back on. Looks like McLaren are back now, doesn't it? That's certainly my feeling. Maybe it's going to be a Hamilton or Button win number two of the year.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we want to see McLaren fast, only because it makes the championship tighter.
Yeah,
we don't want a runaway leader. At the moment, Alonso is looking very strong for the world championship. What better way than to turn it upside down than a McLaren 1 and 2, Webber 3rd or Vettel 3rd, and Alonso further down the line, so that we can start putting a world championship together that's exciting up until the last race. But as a Brit, I'm sure I want Jensen, Lewis, or Paul de Rester to do well, because it's good for Silverstone, it's good for the BRDC, so therefore good for me. So am I patriotic? Yes. Do I want to see a Brit win? Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't blame you. You've seen the last two races from live at the tracks. Where are you going to be watching this one from?
My cinema at home. I will go down there and I'll watch all the races and some of the practice, definitely qualifying. It's always interesting at Hungary. Not the most exciting Grand Prix in the past, so qualifying is very important. And that's something that Lewis normally is quite good at.
No, definitely. Well, I'm sure you will have your feet up, Derek, and enjoy the Hungarian Grand Prix. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.